It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you?
Morena, I'm not bad, thank you.
That's good to hear. We've got some sort of breaking news stories to talk about before we crack into our full conversation, where we're going to be having a chat about Oranga Tamariki, a bit about the film and television recovery package that the government's announced, and also the temporary hold on international flights from Air New Zealand coming into the country. But first, I think we do need to touch base on the extraordinary announcement last night from Michelle Boag and National MP Hamish Walker that they leaked the medical details of COVID quarantine patients. Todd Muller has called it an error of judgment, and he has just this morning said he's written to the party's board asking them to remove Hamish Walker as an MP from the party. Others have described it as a potentially illegal act. How would you describe it, Prime Minister?
Well, I do still think that we need to complete the investigation that we said we would undertake. We've got Mike here in QC who will be doing that work for us. And the reason that I'd like us to do that is we need to make sure that when information like that is being shared, that it is being shared with those who are most appropriate to have it, that we're keeping it, you know, fairly tight, obviously, for good reason. But at the same time, when people who are in positions of responsibility and are in positions within our wider healthcare system, you should have an expectation that that information is treated privately, and that it is that people's privacy is protected, and that it will not be used for political gain. And so that's obviously a key principle, but that won't stop us making sure that we've done everything we should and that we tidy up things if we need to as well.
Well, in other coronavirus-related news at the moment, Air New Zealand, in collaboration with the government, has announced that there's going to be a temporary hold on inbound international flights from Air New Zealand to ensure that there's enough space for all those entering the country in the government's managed isolation facilities. For how long does the government think this hold on inward-bound travel is going to have to last?
Yeah, just add that that's in addition to what's already been sold. So what we've been seeing is a real increase in the number of New Zealanders seeking to come home in recent times. So this week, for instance, some days we're estimating we'll get about 700 per day. And obviously adding to the fact that we've already got roughly 6,000 in managed isolation. So it is about making sure that we've got both the capacity, and we're increasing the capacity as we speak, but also that we've got the capability to make sure that we keep those facilities safe. Now, New South Wales, you'll see, recently actually capped their number at 450 a day. They've said no flight can bring in more than 50 people. So all we've said to Air New Zealand is, look, you've already sold a lot of tickets. We're just asking that you not sell any more for now, just for this period, so that we can make sure that we've got everything in place to manage those we do have coming well. And they've agreed with that, and I think have been really, really good to work with. We'll do that for the next few weeks and keep a bit of a track on how it's going.
We've seen some discussion in the last week about the possibility of setting up isolation facilities in towns like Queenstown. How soon will we hear new plans for managed isolation facilities?
Well, we've already brought on in recent times about another 2,000 beds. At the moment, we've been sticking to centres like Rotorua, Christchurch, Wellington, Auckland. Where we do look at additional capacity, we work very closely with the community and make sure that, you know, we're doing that in such a way that it can be sustained. One key thing to keep in mind is we don't just look at where there are hotels. We look at where we have health capacity. And so that's a key consideration for us. We need to know that we've got public health, a good, strong, well-supported public health unit with good numbers, that we've got the hospital facilities if we need them. So it's not just about beds. We think about the whole piece.
In the wake of the person who escaped from the quarantine facility last week, mental health experts have been saying that we need to be prioritising pastoral care for people that are in the managed isolation facilities. Do you think that's a fair comment, Prime Minister?
I'd like to think that in what is obviously a set of pretty difficult circumstances, we have been thinking about that. You know, I haven't looked at this myself, but I'm told that in Australia they're very limited in, I believe, Queensland, and whether or not people get a bit of, you know, fresh air and outside time, whereas we have built that in. Of course, that means we need extra staff to do it, because we have to have, you know, we have several staff who go out to make sure that when people are getting fresh air, that they don't interact with each other, but we have built that into our system because we do, you know, we are mindful of the impact that being in one confined space for a long period of time could have.
And I wanted to talk briefly about the $73 million film and television recovery package that the government has announced to protect jobs and investment in New Zealand productions. Where exactly is that money going to go, Prime Minister?
So that is very much around sustaining the industry that we have. We know COVID's had an impact on production, either for those who are already in train. For some, it affects potentially some of the quirks of COVID, mean it could affect their eligibility for some of the grants that had been available previously. So it was just us at a really practical level looking at our industry and saying we both need to continue to stimulate the commissioning of new works, but also keep those that were already operating going. We know that the screen industry is a massive industry for us. It not only do international productions keep our domestic crews going in between time, they also act as a bit of a cross-subsidy for our domestic productions. So we need to keep the whole ecosystem ticking along.
So this package targets both those international productions happening in New Zealand and local ones, or is it just focused at the local level?
So it has that effect because, of course, those who are international productions who are eligible for our grant schemes are eligible often because they're using local crews. One of the issues that we've come across, for instance, is that some elements of our grant system require certain things to have happened within certain times. They require certain things around distribution. Or in some areas, we've said, look, we need to make sure that we still ensure eligibility, even though COVID has caused a bit of disruption. Where we've been more direct with funding for commissioning of new works, that's domestic. That's about what's happening here with our domestic crews and our domestic writers and so on.
And I just wanted to touch on, before we let you go, Oranga Tamariki. Prime Minister, in the wake of the Children's Commissioner's reports into Oranga Tamariki and also Melanie Reid's investigation for Newsroom, we're seeing renewed calls for the resignation of Oranga Tamariki's chief executive, Gronja Moss. Do you still have confidence in her as the chief executive?
So I think after a couple of times over actually when we've had incidents at Oranga Tamariki have needed to address. And my view has always been we will not create change in a system or fix a system via one person. We just won't. I do think that there is wide acknowledgement, at least from the government, that there are changes that need to be made within Oranga Tamariki. And we have been working on making them stay. We've only had the huge reform agenda that we've had is only been fully resourced in recent times and begun in recent times. However, we are seeing a decrease in uplifts. We are seeing an increase in the number of Māori and whānau caregivers for placements with Māori children. And ultimately, what we want to see is a reduction in children in care altogether. And that's where those partnerships with iwi like Tainui are so important. We need more of that. But I do not think one person will ever be able to affect change or get in the way of change.
Perhaps that is true, but we have certainly seen that there is, particularly from Māori communities, a concern that the leadership at the top level is maybe not reflective of the groups that are the most affected by this. We've also seen quite a lot of criticism of Tracy Martin as the Minister for Children. Do you still have confidence in her in that leadership role?
Yes, I do. And in fact, those who have been, just yesterday I was talking to a kaupapa Māori service who works in the space of family harm, and I know that there has been a considerable shift in the way that Oranga Tamariki has been out working with those services. We just need more of it. It is going to take us time to change a system that has been operating in a particular way for a long time. I do acknowledge our social workers. They do an incredibly hard job because no one wants the role of doing statutory uplifts for the safety of children. That is, I would think, one of the hardest roles that we have within our government agencies. But it's also something that we have to take very, very seriously. That's why it's always sat with the Crown as a responsibility. But that should not get in the way of us doing much more work with kaupapa Māori services.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again in a fortnight.
Talk soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.